Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Lord, we pray for David as he speaks to us. We thank you for the work that he has put into preparing this and for all he's been doing to listen to what you want to be saying to us this morning. We ask that you would bless him. Would you use him to speak to us? Would you encourage him as he is pouring out this morning? And Lord, as we listen, would we be attentive to you? Lord, would you be speaking to us, challenging us, encouraging us? And would we be open to what it is that you want to say? Amen.
Thank you so much, Olivia, and very warm welcome again to you all, those watching online and those here in person. And I did just want to say at the start that we've had a special birthday this week. I know many might even have your birthday today. You might have had a birthday this week, but I don't imagine there are many who've had a 90th birthday this week. And Anne Draycott, who just prayed for us. And we just want to say, we love you. We honor you, sister. We honor your praying. And we just want to say congratulations for your 90th birthday this past week. We bless you, sister. It's great when you see people's lives that inspire you to go the distance, to keep learning and believing that your life can be a blessing. And it does us good to look forward, but also back. And I've been thinking this week, maybe particularly as my daughter does her exams, I wonder if you can remember what you were longing for when you were younger. What were you longing for when you were younger? Maybe you can remember that feeling, which I know is there for many young people at the moment, where they are longing for their exams to be over. They're longing for the summer break. They're longing for those times when you can enjoy the sunshine rather than feeling you have to be stuck indoors, for that freedom and space of the summer. Do you remember longing for that when you were younger? You know, I think about what we're longing for now, maybe what you're longing for, what I'm longing for. I think sometimes we can relate to that, can't we? We're longing for a break. It might not be from exams, but maybe from something that's difficult or challenging you. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a problem. You go, Lord, I just long for a break from that. Maybe you're also longing for the summer. But I want us to just sit with that question for a moment longer. What are you longing for? What are you really longing for? Because as we sit with our longings, we sometimes realize that they are deeper and there's something more that we want than just maybe that first thing that comes to mind. You know, I'm longing for a break. I'm sure many here are. But actually, what I'm longing more for than that is for a breakthrough. For not just some temporary end to some problem, but for a breakthrough that sees that completely changed permanently. You know, we long for breakthroughs in the situations around us in our world, but also situations in our own lives and hearts. You know, I wonder this morning, what is the change? What is the breakthrough that you need or that you see is needed around us? Well, we're in this amazing prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We've been thinking about this series on the Lord's Prayer. And as we come into our week of 24/7 prayer that Olivia's been speaking about, we see in this prayer what it is to have a prayer that can help us see the breakthroughs that we long for in us and in others. And what we're going to see is that this breakthrough is all tied in to the idea of a kingdom. A kingdom. So I want to talk firstly about what is the kingdom that we long for. You know, we're in election year. We don't quite know when the election's going to be. Who thinks November? Anyone think election's going to be November? Okay, a few. Who thinks it's going to be earlier than that? Yeah, it might be soon. So just keep your eyes open. We're having an election this year. And maybe, like me, you know, one of the things that you feel is that we could do with some better government. And, you know, we have an instinct that part of the problem is who is in charge. But, you know, whatever type of government you would like to see in charge, whatever party you might like to see there, whoever you would like to see there, the reality is that all around the world, all through history, people have been longing for better government. And they've changed it, they've changed it, they've changed it, they've changed it. And what do we still long for? Better government. We're longing for better government in all kinds of worlds, but all across the world. In some places more than others, but even in the places where we've seen sometimes the best government, we still find injustice, greed, poverty. You know, I want to just pause on even just that one thing of poverty. I was doing some research this week just to remember again, I've traveled, I've seen places where there's poverty, but I just wanted to say, what is really the state at the moment? And I was shocked to discover this, that 28,000 people a year die of starvation. 10,000 of those 28 are children, dying of starvation, just not got the food to survive. That is every 8 seconds throughout this year, as it were, a child is dying of starvation. And I thought, you know, I long for that to be different. I long for a change in that. Don't you? I know you do. I know we long for a world where that is not the case. You know, the solution isn't just more food. And it's not even just the sharing of food that is there, as many want to do that. That the challenge is kind of more complex. It's not even just regime change in some of the places where the food needs are greatest. What we need is someone with power and authority, but with also a genuine concern for the poor. Someone who is powerful, but loving. Someone who will seek not their interests, but the interests of others. And you know, all through the Bible, through the Old Testament, there's this sense of this is the kind of kingdom we need. Even just through that one lens of poverty, we need to have a king who's going to come, who's going to set up a kingdom where the most vulnerable, the most oppressed will find freedom and the help they need. But you see, what the Old Testament starts to reveal is that this king is going to need to deal with problems that just are not surface problems. Poverty is a massive problem, but it's a surface problem. There is a problem beneath that that goes deeper and deeper. And the Bible says it is a heart problem. It's a heart problem in every president, prime minister, king, ruler in our world. It's a heart problem in all of us. And it's a heart problem that keeps repeating. The Bible says the heart problem is this: that we've rejected God. And here's the thing that I read this week that really made that kind of sink in, what the consequences of that. Pope Benedict said, and this is the quote, "When God is absent, nothing can be good." Pause on that for a moment. When God is absent, nothing can be good. Maybe you say, well, hold up, David. We've had a good weekend. The sun shone. I've seen people enjoying a good weekend and they have no reference to God. You know, the Bible says that every good and perfect thing comes from above. Life, love, light, sunshine, rain, food. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And God is the God who is over all. He is the Most High. He reigns. His kingdom cannot kind of be kind of stopped. But we do sometimes reject God and step away from the blessings of his reign. And all over the world, what happens is that we end up looking for a kingdom that is in our own kind of making, whether it's a kind of grouping together and say, well, let's have it like this. You know, we're going to have a new Labour government, and it's going to be ideal. It's not going to be ideal. I tell you now, it will be people who are not perfect. You know, we're going to have a new government in another part of the world. It won't solve all the problems. What we need is not to get disillusioned by government and to end up deciding that we want to just fashion everything in our own kind of way. So we're going to say we're not going to work with others. And this is actually now rife. Rather than say we're going to pull together to try and make this change or that, we say, well, I will just look after my little bit. And if I can just do what I want, be provided for in my way, you know, if I can just make sure that's okay for me and my kids. But, you know, that is not working either. That is not actually where we find peace and freedom. What we need is actually, we need to get away from the tyranny of selfish rule. And when we put ourselves first, that's what happens. Self becomes the kind of the tyrant of our own little empire. And it doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring joy. And it certainly doesn't help all those needs around the world, those thousands of kids who are suffering. What we need is a king like no other. And the Bible promises that this king, all the way through the Old Testament, is coming. I love this quote. Peter Lewis says this. He says, the most important single thing about the Old Testament teaching concerning the kingdom is that the Lord comes in person to do this, to bring this kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is unthinkable without the coming of the king. And I want to just tell you that this king that the Old Testament was longing for has come. Jesus has shown up in our world, and he is the king of the kingdom of God. As he refers to the kingdom of God, he talks about his kingdom or the Father's kingdom or the kingdom of heaven, and it's all interchangeable. He, the king, has come, and so the kingdom of God is in place. And the thing that makes his kingdom so wonderful is he is a wonderful king. There's no one like him. There is no one who treats the vulnerable with such compassion as King Jesus. There is no one who is so powerful as King Jesus. There is no one who is able to lead a kingdom that is good news for all within it as King Jesus. There's no one whose kingdom has such a kind of openness to say, come and be part of this kingdom as King Jesus. In fact, again, Peter Lewis, I love this quote, says that Jesus' message about the kingdom is essentially one of joy. He preached the good news of the kingdom, and the good news is that it is offered to the poor, the sinful, the failed, the excluded, the hopeless. He is the king who has come to bring the kingdom that we actually all long for, though we often don't realize it. He is the king who is now at work, extending his kingdom through our world, where people will submit to his reign, where they'll say yes to him. And we have the privilege of joining him in his work. You know, I think about some of the area just simply of the poorest of the poor and of the poverty in our world. And I know the times when I've had the privilege with a team, we're not able to do this anymore, but we used to be able to go and visit the school we support in India, in amongst the Dalit community, some of the most trafficked people in the world, and work with some of these amazing teachers. We've got a picture here of Graham. I almost caught you beforehand to say I was going to show this, but Graham teaching in a school. This is some years back. We got that picture, I think, next, Linnea. And, you know, these are kids who in their community, many are taken and trafficked and abused, and we have the privilege of joining as they get a new way of thinking to bring life. Or what about the partnership we've had for now over 20 years with Brother Ranjan? This started when the tsunami hit, devastating lives in Sri Lanka and that whole region. And Philip reached out to Ranjan, who he'd known from a Billy Graham conference that they'd gone to. And this man is doing amazing work, helping bring the good news of Jesus and food to people who need it and healthcare to people who need it. And we have the privilege through our giving and our praying of joining in what Ranjan is doing, but what Jesus is doing amongst the poorest of the poor. So Lord, may your kingdom come amongst those who in our world are desperately in need, the poorest of the poor. Lord, may your kingdom come through our praying and our giving. May we join you in that kingdom that alone lasts. You know, that's what the Bible says. The kingdom of Christ is the only one that will last forever. Every other kingdom will ultimately one day come down. And this is partly challenging because what we like to do is we like to build our kind of kingdom. And even if we like what Jesus' kingdom's got, we want it as a little add-on. You know, like you building a granny flat in your little pad. God, that's your bit. This is my bit. Oh, you know, and it doesn't work like that. He's the king. And for him to reign, and the reign that we long for is his reign, even though we sometimes confuse it and think, no, we want to do things our way. Actually, as we have him come and reign over everything, that is always what works best. So I want to just pause before we go on any further and just think, whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom are you devoting your life to building? Maybe just ask yourself, will it last? And maybe even just right at the heart, just think, whose kingdom am I longing for? There is no one's kingdom better than the kingdom of King Jesus. Let that be the thing that is gripping our hearts, that we want to see his reign extend all across the world so that people come to embrace his reign. So I want to ask secondly, how does this happen? How does the kingdom of God come in our world? Well, it comes in unexpected ways. It's not like, just as Jesus is not like a king like any other, his kingdom is not like any other. The way it works and spreads is so different. And we're often sometimes, I think, puzzled by it. We often look like Pete Gregg said and say, is this working? And in fact, there's a kind of prayer movement happening at the moment called Thy Kingdom Come, which across many countries, and this little video from one of their little web videos that I found so helpful, again, with Pete Gregg being asked something by the Archbishop. We'll just watch this 1 minute video.
I do believe that when we pray for the kingdom of Jesus to come, that his rule and reign does come. And we often see the good news of that. We see the blessings, the answers to prayer, the encouragements. But sometimes, you're right, it can be really tricky, can't it? We can wrestle with the fact that we want God to airlift us out of our problems, and he more often parachutes and joins us in the midst of them. And so the world's full of problems, and we try to work out how, what does the rule and reign of Jesus look like when he's a servant king? When he has all the authority in the world, but doesn't seem to use his power in the way that our world systems use power. So, I believe in miracles. I believe that things change when we pray for the kingdom to come. But I suppose the greatest miracle is the presence of Jesus with us in the midst of whatever we're going through.
The greatest miracle is the presence of Jesus in the midst of whatever we're going through. You see, this king comes to bring his kingdom by coming as a babe in Bethlehem. This king comes into our world to bring a rescue, and he's a refugee child fleeing his country. This king comes and he, as he starts to teach and enter his ministry, he starts in this kind of nowhere place of Nazareth and Galilee, a humble kind of carpenter background. And then he comes and he starts sort of helping and showing compassion to lepers and serving those in need and being ridiculed and mocked and eventually crucified. This is a king who comes to bring his presence into our suffering world. And this king invites you and I to join him in this kind of topsy-turvy kingdom that he is building, to bring his presence into people's lives as we join him in his work, as he kind of invites us to join him through our prayers this week and through our action. Through our joining him in the costly work that is so often being willing to be identified with him and with the kind of ways that are not like the world, to say, okay, rather than just fight for a position, we're going to get on our knees. We're going to be those that cry out to God for those who need God's presence when they might not understand what's happening. You know, I think of our persecuted brothers and sisters who, again, join in this amazing kingdom work because they're willing to suffer as Jesus suffered. And as I think about our gift day and I think what it is to give to encourage them or pray for them or support them or provide for them through organizations like Open Doors, I find myself thinking, God, would you help me be willing, if you want me to go to some of these places? I've been praying for many years for Somalia. Number two on the most persecuted places for Christians to be. Think of North Korea, where there are many Christians, but most of them are in concentration camps. Lord, would we be the kind of people who are willing, like they, to suffer with you in this topsy-turvy kingdom where your light and your kingdom spreads even amidst persecution? You know, our praying and our giving really does impact places like that. Our praying and our giving help remind us that this is a now and not yet kingdom. It's a kingdom that is often persecuted, pressed down, but can never be destroyed. It's a kingdom that looks like it's weak, but is actually the most powerful force in our earth. It's a kingdom, as so many of Jesus' parable of the kingdoms talked about, which has this kind of sense of something growing and spreading, sometimes imperceptibly, but there will come a moment. There will come a moment when this kingdom will be fully realized. We read at the end of Revelation that there's this moment when heaven, as it were, that we're praying will be impacting earth even now. Yet one day it will come down and all earth will be changed as heaven descends and transforms earth. We read about that in Revelation 21. Because there will come a time when evil and injustice and pain and death will be no more. No more poverty. No more persecution. And that day is coming. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're joining in the last prayer of the Bible and saying, come, Lord Jesus. We long for that day, but we long even in this moment now, in our service, in our 24/7 week of prayer, Lord, would you come? Would you come to places where don't know of you or have forgotten about you? Like we were hearing about last week about what the Rigs are doing in that Valley of Wales where there was once revival, but in our time there can be revival again, and they're sharing of the good news of Jesus. Or what the Cuttings a couple of weeks before that are doing in France as they seek to go to unreached parts of that nation. And I'm so excited that next week we're going to have Dundee joining me. This was me with him in Ethiopia just last October. And it is amazing what they're doing, not only to help the poor, but also to bring the good news to places where there are no church. There's our team with them, a bunch of them, as we just had a chance to connect together. I'm seeing some smiles from some of the faces of those who went. But tonight, as we pray at 7:30, I'll be sharing a video that we can't share online, from one of our partners in North Africa, of an opportunity they had just recently to share the good news of Jesus in, again, a place where there's only 0.1% Christian, hardly any. And through our praying and our giving, we have an opportunity to be part of this. I want to encourage you, please, as I've been praying for this time, I'm praying for a fresh generation. Our vision is to raise the next generation. And I'm praying for us to raise the next generation of intercessors. If you've just arrived at the church, maybe you're later on in life or retired. You know, we've in the past had some amazing retired folks who've been intercessors in this church. Maybe you could step into their shoes. Become great intercessors. Pouring your heart out to God. Maybe this week you'll get a taste of it. Young people, students, I'm praying that just as Olivia was saying and expressing that heart of God touching lives, hey, why not come to realize that as we pray, God changes things? Come and press into prayer this week, and maybe in a way you never have, and discover things about God in prayer. Discover that we can pray, thy kingdom come, and it might seem like it's weakness and nothing's happening, but we'll never know until we get to heaven what God does through our prayers this week. So I'm praying God would raise a fresh generation of intercessors, and I'm also praying that God would keep raising in us all a spirit of generosity. We live in costly days. It's costly to get a coffee. It's costly to get a flat, to rent a flat. It's costly to do all kinds of things, but I tell you what, it's costly to see the kingdom of God spread. That's why Jesus came and he gave and he gave and he gave. But because we have such a generous king, and in him is our security, we don't need to hold on to stuff, but we can live lives of generosity. And my longing is that we will have our most generous days as a church ahead of us. That we will live such a different kind of kingdom-shaped life that we'll be inspired again and again to think, what difference can we make as we join Jesus in his way of seeing his kingdom come. I was at a conference in October last year, and this guy spoke. Steve has sometimes referred about it, and I've shown a little clip of him. He was a guy who had just God had really challenged him about giving. And actually, one of the things that came through in his talk was his heart for world missions. And when we showed a little clip of his video in our November gift time, I know it touched many people's hearts and lives. But I want to show you a bit more, but a bit less as well. So I'm going to show you a slightly different bit. There's a bit of an overlap, but this is Richard telling something of his story, and he's starting by talking about a friend, but maybe we could have Richard's little
clip. One of my friends, Sandra, is dying at the moment, and she said, the closer I get to death, everything drops away apart from two things. Love, the love that God has for me, the love that I have for others, and making a difference. Every day, can I make a difference? She coaches, from her bed, six people! She's an extraordinary woman. And I can resonate with that. The chance to make a difference is so important to me. A young man called Ed phoned me up a couple of years ago and said, we found a people group in India that has no gospel presence at all, and we found 15 Indian evangelists who want to go full time to invest their time in reaching the gospel with them. I went, Ed, how much would that cost? He went, all in all, 15 full-time evangelists, unreached people group, £12,000 a year. £12,000 a year to change the lives of an entire people group. That really excited me. It still does. Let me end with three things I'd love to say to you. Number one, please encourage your people to be more generous. Do you know if Western evangelicals gave not 2.5% but 10%, do you know how much more money would flood into the kingdom every year? I'll tell you, £100 billion. That's 100,000 million pounds. That's the same that Putin is pouring into the war in Ukraine. Imagine that as a power for good across the West, across the world. But I'm not asking you to persuade them and convince them to be more generous for that reason. It's for purely selfish reasons. This side of heaven, I've known very few things that give more joy than being a part of what God is doing financially. You guys in the front line, I'm not. And in eternity, actually, we get this treasure. What is this treasure? John Lennox, who many of you know is a maths professor at Oxford, lovely Christian man, and he's written a book on what to do when we invest our time and treasure and talent. And he uses the story that Jesus tells of the dodgy steward who used money to buy friends. And he says, when we invest our time and our treasure in what God is doing, we make friends. We make friends. I have friends all over the world by God's grace. And I'm so looking forward to getting to heaven, because we're going to sit down and I'm going to hear their stories. And the fact that I've been able to play some tiny, tiny, tiny minuscule part in their stories thrills me now, and I know will thrill me then. I hope that's part of my treasure. So that's the first thing I'd say. Please encourage your people to be more generous, for your sake and for theirs.
Remember, it's the kingdom of joy. It's good news of the kingdom. When Jesus says, hey, live this life of prayer and sacrifice and giving, he's inviting us to something that's actually filled with joy, even though our world doesn't often get that. Sometimes these gift days are some of the most exciting, joy-filled days in our church. So will you do this? Will you, this week, as you pray, just be prayerfully saying, God, everything I have comes from you. What do you want me to give cheerfully and joyfully next week? And I know that God will take and use it as we join him, the one who maybe more clearly than anything else, has shown us how this kingdom comes as he came to the cross. That place where he didn't just give some of what he had, he gave everything. He gave his very life for you and I. He didn't just build his kingdom by just kind of killing his enemies. He died for his enemies that they might be able to come into his kingdom. The king, the prince of heaven, becomes so poor. Even the clothes taken from him on the cross, that you and I might be in his kingdom and inheritors with him forever and ever. So as we think about how we respond, first and foremost, we must receive. If we're to be those who pray, if we're to be those who give, we're to be those who go, we need to receive ourselves afresh from our King, the King who loves us, the King who wants to renew us, the King who can bring that change and breakthrough in us and then in others, one life at a time. We need to receive his loving reign, to receive his Spirit, and to join him in our praying and our giving and our going, in allowing all parts of our lives to just come surrendered to him. So I've got a prayer up here. It's a kind of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit prayer. And I wonder if you'd be able to stand with me, if you're able. And just we're going to pause before we move on to each section. So we'll have a pause to read the Spirit bit as well afterwards. But if you feel able, I wonder if you might be able to join me in praying this prayer. And the band are going to come up and just be prepared to lead us in worship off the back of that. We're going to start with that top bit. Should we just pause and be still? Let's just bow our heads before we look up to read this together. The Lord is here and he hears us as we pray. And so we pray together. Our Father, may your kingdom come in us and around us, locally and globally. Let's pause. And we pray together, King Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying for me. I long for more of your presence. Help me in my praying this week. Help me in my giving this week. Help me in my going this week. I long for more of your reign. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with the love and joy of your kingdom, with power to live seeking your kingdom first and proclaiming the King in his name. Amen.